All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13 for you. So, here she is. Warming up?
Yes.
Very good. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 13. Follow the way of love. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
You know, we're coming off the love chapter. And everybody used that in weddings and stuff. And so it's coming right off that. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You could underline that in your Bible. It's an important part. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Isn't that good? I mean, these kids might get a bike, but if you can be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted, that's a pretty good prize. Amen? So that's their intent here. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church might be edified. Now, brothers, I'll say and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sound, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking to the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you, talking to the church in Corinth. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. Lord, I thank you for presence that come from heaven. I thank you that you guide and direct us, Lord, and that you would strengthen, encourage, and comfort us this morning, Lord. I pray that our souls might be touched by heaven this morning, that you would indeed speak to us, speak to our hearts, and that you would have a witness for each person here that lets them know that you are indeed close and that you indeed care. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. A place for power. If you didn't pick up on it, we're going to talk about some spiritual gifts today. We've been talking about spiritual gifts for many weeks now. The series is called Purchase for Power, that the Lord has a desire that you would be equipped spiritually to find victory in your life. Amen. Tracking with me? Now, so we're going to be talking about specifically three gifts, but we're going to talk about speaking in tongues and prophecy. And I've been a Christian for 25 or so years, and I remember I was saved 3 months, and I was in a church service, and this guy was, I don't know if he was preaching on this text, but he was preaching on the gift of tongues. And, you know, realistically, I had no clue what he was talking about. But I was lit for the Lord. And so he's talking about this, and I'm so fired up for God. And he talks about it. And he gets to the end of the services. We've been praying that the Lord would send a message to us with an utterance of tongues and interpretation. And so we're going to wait upon that right now. And I'm standing. There's probably 600-700 people in the crowd. It was the sanctuary. It was the singles ministry. The sanctuary would hold about 2,500 people, so I mean, it's a center section. He says, we're going to wait on that right now, and I am telling you, it is like an electrical charge started at my feet. I'm saved 3 months. started up my feet and began to move up my legs, and I had no clue what was going on. And I said, in my mind, "Not me, God." And it was gone in an instant. And about 3-4 seconds later, somebody else began to speak out in a language I had never heard before. That is an utterance of tongues. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about the difference between tongues and interpretation and prophecy. Because it was freaking me out that day. And it might freak you out. It freaked me out for about 6 months to a year. You're here today and you're saying, "That freaks me out." You know what? If it freaks you out, you can always say no. And they'll just move right on. The Lord's not going to make you do anything. Can we get a witness on that? We're on this series called Purchase for Power. And it's a focus of the purpose and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Last week, we looked at all the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth, which was a church on fire. You know, it's in Greece, and it's growing, and all kinds of stuff are going on, and things are jumping, and things are hopping, and there's problems there. And if you read the epistles after Acts, much of the New Testament is corrective. It's saying, "You're doing good, but you should change this. You're doing good, but you should do this. And you're not doing so good, and this needs to be done." And the writers of the New Testament want us to be able to line up on the Lord. Amen? And so often, if you're not lined up on the Lord, and God wants you lined up on Him, you are going to have to move. Because God doesn't move. Amen? It's kind of hard for God to move, because He's infinite. How can you move infinity, right? I mean, you've got no space left. So He is God, and we, in our focus, try to line up on Him. And so He lets us know when we're off track. Are you tracking with me? Paul writes much of 1 and 2 Corinthians to bring correction here. Now, he describes these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then he goes to the chapter on love. And if you know about the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, it's because everybody loves to hear those verses at their wedding. How many of you used verses from 1 Corinthians 13 in your wedding? Just put your hand up. Oh, Joe, you're not married right here. Yeah, I married you guys, Pastor Paul. It is very common. What is interesting, though, is Paul writes this chapter on love, and it has nothing to do with the love of newlyweds. It has to do with love being poured out upon a group of believers like this, because he says, here's the gift, and you have to focus in love, and you have to live in love and let these gifts spread out and build up the church, strengthen the church, comfort the church, and do all these things. But people would grab those verses and just say, "Oh, those verses are just for me and you, huh?" And it's not really like that at all. So then he comes to chapter 14, and he begins to describe about the selfishness of the church in Corinth. Because he talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, and he says love is this action that takes your emotion and turns it outward, right? It is an act of self-giving, of selflessness. And then he comes back to the church in Corinth, and he says, "You guys are acting selfish. You're taking these gifts that are for the good of everybody, and you're abusing them, you're making no room for them, and you're taking the gift that is meant for you specifically to grow you up and build you up and strengthen you, and you're using them in this public environment where they're not supposed to be used like that." And he says, "Let me tell you how this is all supposed to work so that you can be doing what God wants you doing." Now, who wants to do what God wants them to do? Yeah? And he says, he starts off with right after, let's follow the way of love. Everybody likes that part. Follow the way of love, right? And then he says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, you might be like me, 3 months saved in that service, and I want everything from God, but I got no clue what spiritual gifts are. I really got no, it's kind of like eating hot sauce, you know? Or who likes sushi? Anybody like sushi? You know that green stuff? Wasabi? Man, I had my a friend of mine, he offered it to his girlfriend, said it was guacamole. She like didn't talk to him for a week, man. I mean, it'd just explode your head. And so somebody's like, yeah, I'll take that. I don't know what it is. And so Paul says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And so I'm wondering if you sit here today that you eagerly desire those gifts. There's a lot of people that say, oh, those things don't exist. Devil will tell you, those things aren't real. You don't need those. But if they're from God, and God wants to build you up, and God wants to build the church up, do you want to be part of that? Do you eagerly desire? That means I really want the spiritual gifts. Because that's what we're going to talk about today. She already got wet, but she'll do it again. She's going, I didn't even hear what I said. She said, no, it's too cold. Can be threatening. Can be frightening. It frightened me. But if you don't want them, don't worry, you won't get them. But if you're looking, this is a place where you can get them. Title of today's message is The Place for Power. And this is it. Amen? All right, let's take a look. All right. We're going to talk about prophecy, and we're going to talk about tongues. Verse 1 and 3 are about prophecy. Verse 2 and 4 about tongues. So I cut them up. You'll see three dots there. That's where I jump from verse 1 to verse 3. Okay? Follow my screen there. So it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy.
But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy.
Prophecy is speaking for God. Prophecy is speaking for God. Now, I mentioned that we talked about spiritual gifts last week, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That means everybody in here has received something from God for the blessing of this entire body. And if you're not using your gift, you're ripping us off. Okay? These are the list of the gifts that were given in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Message of wisdom, knowledge, faith, discernment, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We're going to be focusing on the last three in that list this week. Prophecy. A prophet is one who speaks for God. Technically, the word means a mouthpiece for God. Moses is an excellent example of a prophet where he spoke to Pharaoh the words of God. He says, you tell Pharaoh this, and Moses went and told Pharaoh this. He said, you tell the people this, and Moses told the people that. Moses wrote down the words of the law, and we can read them today in the first 5 books of the Bible. Okay, so there is that, the work of the prophet. Now, some prophecy describes what God is going to do. And like telling the future. Okay, you tracking with me? Because like Revelation, Daniel, talk about end times, and it's called prophecy. But prophecy is more than just telling the future. Prophecy tells what God is going to do, and prophecy also tells what God is doing right now. It is a description and an illumination of the plan and the will of God. So sometimes there are prophets who will just speak right into your life. God wants this to happen. You're like, bam! You're just slayed by the prophet. God just speaking right to your heart. And sometimes that stuff is out there in the future a little bit. But as we read here, prophecy builds up the people of God. Prophecy strengthens, encourages, and comforts us. And that's what's supposed to happen in the church. And as you walk out of this building today, in great anticipation of the barbecue that George is going to have for you, I'm trusting that you are going to feel strengthened, comforted, and encouraged by the Spirit of God as He meets you here. Amen?
Amen.
It's a supernatural thing. And that's why I hope you're here today. All right. Tongues. All right, we got prophecy is speaking for God. Tongues is speaking to God. Got it? Prophecy is speaking for God, being a mouthpiece for God. Tongues is a gift where God enables you to speak to Him. All right. Now, again, I pulled out a verse there. You see the three dots there on the third line to the bottom. That's where it jumps from verse 2 to 4. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues, the Greek word there is glossolalia. And I know you're blessed that I would tell you that. But Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they spoke in tongues on Pentecost. Acts chapter 10, 46, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Cornelius' house and they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, in Ephesus, Paul laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. That is what we're talking about here. Tongues is a gift of the Spirit where you speak in a language that you don't know. Just like that. What is that? I don't know what that is. But when you are speaking, the gift of tongues, you speak in a language that you personally do not understand. In Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues that they did not understand, but other people around them understood. Paul here talks about men speaking in the language of angels, that you speak with your spirit. It is like having a God phone. Then you have a phone in your pocket, just went off. You can speak to God. And it is so that you might be built up, edified. Said a man who prays in the spirit, a person who prays in the spirit or who speaks in tongues edifies himself. It is like spiritual steroids. The word there, edifies, is building one's house. So what happens as you speak to God in this spiritual language that the Lord would gift you to use, you build up your own house. Now, did anybody have any challenges this week where you might have used a little extra power? That's what the God phone is for. That is what speaking in tongues is for. That, because Paul says, now, bringing correction. Notice that he is bringing correction here because they are using this gift in a public setting where it does not benefit the person next to you. It benefits you. And Paul is not against you being benefited. But what he doesn't want you doing is taking this personal gift and taking the time of everybody around you, because you also have a gift that's intended to build up everyone. And he's saying, use the public gift in the public setting and use your private gift in the private setting. Are you tracking with me? Right? Because here, you know when I pray quick and I pray silently and I often pray in the Spirit. You know what? If I started praying the way I normally pray, you guys would not be entertained. I'd just be standing up here going like this. My private gift. I'm being blessed. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're getting diddly. You guys have come here today to be encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. Amen?
Amen.
And so, like this dude right here, right? He's on Talk to God phone, and he's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it builds you up. God gives you this private prayer language to give you strength so that when you come to strenuous situations, you have got an extra resource to tie into. Can be emotional challenge, spiritual challenge, relational challenge, whatever challenge you have. I found that it does not work on tests when you have not studied. Like, oh Lord, give me miraculous knowledge because I have to take this test and I've not studied. And he's like, no, I want you to learn how to study. Tracking? That's a little side note. No extra charge on that one. Challenges this week. You pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, it'll give you extra strength. I had severe challenges this week. We've been working, I'm trying to get this new worship software, and it is incredible pain. I talked to the tech support, it's a new motion background, all this stuff, all these other people use it, and it's supposed to interface with the software we're using now, so these slides that come right up, I talked to your technical guy, and they're like, well, you know, don't really have any answer for you on that. I'm like, God, come on. So I sent another text request up, and I talked to the tech supervisor. This program we use right here, you might be familiar with, is called PowerPoint. The other one just sucks the PowerPoint right in. It's coming in all messed up. Says, we don't really know about that other program. We don't run PowerPoint. We run our program. I go, well, you got a whole interface built. All right. So they got no help for me there. And I start looking for ways to fix it. New drivers, back doors, this and all this kind of stuff. And I'm working, I'm getting frustrated, I'm just reaching out there, downloading stuff, running stuff, and I get a virus. Anybody ever got a virus? Computer virus, Mario. All right, okay. I have to check with Mario, because you don't have Facebook either, right? All right, okay, just want to make sure. Because I got sick. But anyway, so I thought, okay, I got this virus. It's a sanctuary system, you know. It was Monday when, I think it was Monday when it started coming in. And I'll beat this virus, man. And I start, you know, it's like one of those things. You have a virus. Call this phone number. Pay us money, and we'll take it out, you know. And they're the guys who put it in there. And I'm like, no. So I start cutting this out. I'm going to beat this. And it starts getting worse. You know, and I'm hitting uninstall is their uninstall, which actually reinstalls other stuff. And I get to this point where this heinous pornography, just pages and pages and pages, go to the top of the screen. And I'm like, Roki's coming in here tonight, man. I mean, he's going to have a service. I can't have this. And I'm starting to pull it out. Fine, it gets so bad, I just got to format the whole hard drive. Just gone. But you can't format your brain. Now, I've been slimed by this virus. And you guys know that when you get those images going through your head, man, they'll just pop right up. And I needed spiritual aid to overcome that challenge. Take every thought captive. That is where the gift of the Spirit and being able to build yourself up as you come to a challenge is very useful. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, we come across stuff. You step in the enemy's trap every once in a while. Boom! Lord, help me. He'll help you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Where'd my thing go? Oh, there it is. All right, here we go. Point number two. We're okay. Are we okay? I know we're long, man. We did other stuff. Okay, we're going. All right, here we go. Interpretation expands the gift of tongues. Interpretation expands the gift of tongues. I would like every one of you to, this is verse 5, right? So he did 1, 3, 2, 4, and this is verse 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. The problem in Corinth. Come to a service like this, God intends you to be built up. In Corinth, they were getting it wrong. All these people were speaking out in tongues in their private prayer language. And so, if you weren't part of the, if everybody started speaking in tongues and you're all built up, everybody would be built, would leave built up. But that's not the way God has it planned. God has it planned that, like the worship team is up here, right? Anybody blessed by the worship team today? Yeah. See, they are functioning in their gift of worship. Pastor Paul shared that story about the chaplains, right? He speaks. Aaron Buggs opened and shared this morning from his heart. There are many people who share and participate in the service, and their gifts edify everybody. And what happens is we're edified together like that. We're also drawn together. Does that make sense? So we can come in here and each of us do our own thing. It'd be like we're all on our own on our iPods, right? Everybody listening to their own stuff. Nobody has iPods anymore, do they?
I
do. All right, girl. There we go. You know, I think it's an upgrade for Mario to get an iPod. But no, I'm joking with you, Mario. Just joking, buddy. But he's saying, man, you guys got it wrong. You guys are abusing these gifts, and you're coming to church and you're looking to build yourself up rather than to build up the people around you. And Paul, don't get Paul wrong, because a lot of people read this and say that, and think that Paul is not a gift or not a fan of spiritual gifts or not a fan of speaking in tongues. But he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Why? Man, I'll tell you what, anybody who's going against the enemy, it was the Apostle Paul. And he spoke in tongues a lot so that he could be built up, so that he could then fight that battle. Are you tracking with me on that? What he's talking about is the propriety in the gifts, the problem in Corinth, and the problem in some churches. Paul says, use your public gifts in public settings. Use your private gifts in private settings. And here he tells us about this gift of interpretation. It is a spiritual gift in the same list as prophecy and speaking in tongues. And what interpretation is, and I have an illustration for you, I'm going to show that, play that for you in a minute, is someone speaks out in a language that they don't understand. And you understand it, or somebody understands it, and they speak out that meaning. And so it has been said that tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. And in that sense, it takes tongues from a private gift to a public gift, to where the whole church can be edified. Okay, so interpretation expands the gifts of tongues. I'm going to continue on reading. I'm going to jump up to verse 22. It says, tongues then are a sign. Because we're talking about, well, because you can ask, if there's no reason for tongues, why don't we just have prophecy? But there's a reason for both, and we're going to talk about that. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So it's kind of, hey, unbelievers, prophecy, or unbelievers' tongues, believers' prophecy. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in a tongue, like you guys in Corinth, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, they're not going to be blown away. They're just going to think you're all nuts. Are you tracking?
Amen.
All right, Ben. There you go. Where'd Tommy go? Oh, he's taking notes. Yeah, I always get a good amen out of Tommy. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Spiritual gifts are part of the plan of God. Paul says there's a place for tongues in a church service. Tongues is targeted at the unbelievers around you, if there was no place for tongues, there would just be prophecy. Let me unpack that for you. An unbeliever comes into your service, someone speaks out in tongues, and they go, "Whoa, what was that?" If somebody speaks out in tongues today in this service, you're going to go, "Whoa, what was that?" And God wants to get your attention. There are some limits, and that's where we're going with this. If that same believer comes in and everyone is speaking in tongues, they're just going to think this is the weirdest church I've ever seen and leave. He says prophecy works on the unbeliever too because it's going to pierce their heart. Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." So, here's the deal. He says, if you interpret the tongue, you get the prophecy effect. But more than having just a prophecy, you get that unbeliever snap their head effect as well. So realistically, tongues and interpretation is more than prophecy, but because it has that impact on the unbelievers around you. Does that make sense? And then it says, it's because the Word of God, I mean, you got a deceitful heart, the Word of God is going to pierce your heart. And you got the choice of saying, "I'm out of this place, man, I just wanted the barbecue." Okay, you can do that. You can leave today having some incredibly good barbecue, maybe with a kid who's got a bike. And you get to Judgment Day. Say, "You remember May 29th? I had you at that church service to speak to your heart, and you said no." And the Lord will do that. The Lord, how many people remember significant times when you said yes in your life to God? Right? He'll say, call to ministry in my life, call to go to the orphanage. Bam. Big, big times, right? And also I remember times in my life before I was saved when I said no. And they're going to play all that for you. So our job here today is that you would be comforted, that you would be exhorted, that you would be blessed today, but also that you would be challenged by the truth of God. And the Word of God will pierce your heart. It's up to you whether or not you're going to respond. Amen? Okay. Danny, check my volume. 2 weeks ago, we had an utterance in tongues. And I got this microphone right here. Okay? I got a little bit of a lead up. I want you to hear this, and there is an interpretation. We're going to talk about it. Okay? Anybody else? Marina, is it just Marina? All right, there we go. Okay, I got two. Okay, that's good enough. All right, here we go, right here. You say, "Lord, I want to repent. I want to be saved." Just slide your hand up. Didn't put it up earlier. Anybody? Right here, right here. That's what I did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to pray at the end.
Isala, Isala Kotia, La Lakati, Alakati Toshita Kati. I stood to Rubo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
A little bit more.
The Lord God is here today. The Holy Spirit is descending upon each and every one of you. Take the word that my pastor here has spoken to you. Accept what is being given to you. All you need to do is to ask. For I, the Lord, will bless you and comfort you and save you this day. Lord, I just thank you for your presence, my presence, Lord. Just be with my people in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. That is what you call an utterance in tongues and an interpretation. Okay, that's the tape. That happened 2 weeks ago. This, come on out here so you can get in the light. Turn this mic up here, Danny. Yes, glory, glory, glory.
There we go.
All right, Mario. It wasn't the first time you've ever brought an utterance in tongues. It wasn't the first time.
Oh, no.
All right, so then I've asked other people this. I want to ask Mario. We talked earlier today, and you say that at the beginning of service, you started getting this feeling. Describe that to the folks and talk into
them. Well, in my 36 years,
36 years ago is when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And since then, I've noticed that when I did give a message in tongues, there's something that came here, like a bubbling.
Just pointing to his stomach.
Yeah, just bubbling over. It wasn't always that way, but then when I knew that was coming, by the time it got up here, I had to wait for a little. I just didn't want to interrupt the service, and that was from before, too. So when the time came, it had to come out.
Now, the time that came was right up here. See, at number two. I'm going to go to point number three. As I was transitioning from between the points, there was a pause, and that's when he spoke. And so in essence, you had the message or the utterance.
Yes, I did.
And now you're waiting, and then you're waiting for the opportunity.
Well, what I was waiting for, and I was hoping that maybe someone.
Wait, but that's just the utterance in tongues, right?
Yeah, right.
Because then, if you notice, there was about 3 or 4 seconds of silence, and then you brought forth the message in English.
Right.
Which was the interpretation of that message.
Right.
And you waited that time. Why?
I thought maybe someone in the congregation would come with the interpretation. And when I didn't hear that, then I gave the interpretation.
Okay. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Thank you, Mario. All right. You can turn that down now. Now, after the service, I discovered that there was indeed somebody who knew what was being said. And I talked to her last night, and I said, is it going to be okay if I share what was going on? It's Rebecca, and she's with her family today. And she only been coming to church for a little while. And I said, Dana's been talking about you. She said, what'd she say? She said, you knew what Mario said. She said, oh, yeah, I did. And I said, tell me what you felt. And she said, well, I felt peace and calmness right off. And I said, what were you thinking? What were you hearing? And she says, well, I heard these words that I didn't understand. I said, okay, so you didn't understand the words. She said, no. But you knew what they meant. And she said, yeah. I said, tell me about that. And she said, it's really hard to describe. I just knew what it meant. And then when he said what it meant, I went, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I knew what it was. And I said, did you have any move? It's a hard word, impetus or movement or push to speak those words? And she said, yeah, a little bit. And I said, how come you didn't do it? And she said, it would have been really hard to put the truth, she didn't use that word, but to put what I knew into words. You know, there's this kind of this thing. And so we talked about that. And I said, you know, you begin to move in this gift because you have the gift. I don't know. Did anybody else know what he was saying? I believe she was the only one. And it can be a one-time shot. It can be an all-the-time shot. But it's a one-by-one gift. And then I asked her. I said, have you ever heard that before? She said, I didn't know what's happening. I had never, ever heard anything like that before in my life. And so first time out, she gets the spiritual gift of interpretation. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm getting tingles just talking about it. I talked about it last night. When that, I asked too, anybody wigging out? And Danny said, I'm wigging out. But that'll get your attention. You know what? God wants your attention. Some people say, I'm not really all that comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with churches that do that. And if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, you probably know that God is not all about what makes you comfortable. God is about your spiritual transformation. And he often moves you out of what is comfortable into what is uncomfortable. Amen? All right. Here we go. Church is a place to be built up. What then shall we say? What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church might be built up. Spiritual people have a spiritual purpose. Church services in Corinth were a tad out of control. Everybody doing something. There are churches that are a little bit tight. The other spectrum, church in Thessalonica, says, do not extinguish the Spirit, because they were squashing the Spirit down. They had no room for the Spirit to move. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. So as he's correcting the church in Corinth to back it up, he's talking to the church in Thessalonica and saying, hey, loosen things up, man. You guys are too much in control. You guys need to have a balance. And that's what we're talking about today. There was a lot of participation in Corinth. Hymns, revelation, instructions, and tongues. I've been in services. Sister so-and-so has a song. Sometimes that song should have been spoken rather than sung. See, I've been in churches like that, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Everything must be done for the strengthening of the church. Aaron talks, Tommy was going to talk today. Worship team is meant to edify and build you up. And the utterance a couple weeks ago, interpretation, possible interpretation by Rebecca, all those things intended to build you up. All right, so we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of the thing right now. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 33. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most should speak. Okay? Two or three at the most, speaking in tongues, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. He doesn't say don't speak in tongues anymore. He says, hey, use it in the right way. He says, two or three prophets should speak. So we're lining things up now, right? Well, we've got a lot of speaking going on. And then others should weigh carefully what is said. That means the prophet comes, whatever, interpretation comes, you think about it. What does it mean to you? What is God trying to speak to you? if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Paul's lining things up for us. All right. Paul is opening the door for the participation of the Holy Spirit in services. In fact, he's saying it should be normal. And it's not that normal around here. We used to have a lot more utterances in tongues and prophesying, some of the people, one of the guys who did a lot of that, passed on. And so we're waiting for a new prophet. And the Lord has those gifts so that the church can do what? Be built up. Service should include two or three prophecies and two or three tongues with interpretation. Tongues in a service must always be interpreted. If the tongue is not interpreted, it means you're out of order. It means you don't have that gift. You might have the private prayer language part where you can talk to God and be built up, but it's not a public one. And you're out of line. And you should stay quiet. Paul puts some restrictions on these gifts. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You're not going to be out of control. No. God's the God of order, right? Like Mario said, yeah, I knew what I had to say. I waited for an opportunity. Okay? All right. Prophet needs to be able to count. Maximum of three. You're going to hear from God. You're going to speak for God. God expects you to be able to count to three. When you hit three, you're done. Okay? You need to remember. Have a memory. Last time there was no interpretation. This time you need to be quiet. That make sense? It's like, wait a minute, this is God's thing. We're just flowing in the... No. Paul says you should flow, but you should flow in the way that the Lord wants you to flow. He also says that if you're going and somebody else starts talking, you went too long. He says, first guy's talking and somebody else gets a revelation, first guy needs to stop. Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, right? So three people going at one time, nobody's out of control, but what happens is like a couple weeks ago when Mario spoke and the interpretation came, people are like going, oh yeah, God's speaking right to my heart. Make sense? All right. At least you can come on up. Spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophets. He says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Is that you today? Come to church to be edified, to be built up, encouraged, comforted. Message and prophecy is for that. Tongues with an interpretation is for that.